minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans? Welcome back to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. My name is Jacob Morley. You can find me on Twitter at Jacob Morley, and I am joined today by my good pal, Ross Uglum. You can find him on Twitter at Ross Uglum. And Ross, we are knee-deep in the draft season, the draft process. We're kind of getting to the point where, yes, we're kind of far away from the draft, but also getting to the point where I think some of our opinions are starting to kind of be solidified, and we're starting to get deeper into this draft class, you know, just away from the top names that we've been hearing about for the last, you know, 10 months. And we're really starting to kind of find some guys that maybe tickle our fancy a little bit. So today we're going to talk about some guys that, Ross, when we watched them on film, we just say to ourselves, my goodness, I could see the path for this person being a Packer, you know. And let me connect some of the dots here and there and kind of paint a picture of how that could potentially be a path for them to be a Green Bay Packer. And Ross, last week I talked about two guys that I really thought could be Packers. One of them you're very familiar with, and that's Dylan Raiduntz from North Dakota State. I'll let you speak on him. I would imagine you'll probably just kind of echo some of the statements I said. But then another guy that I mentioned last week just so happened to be in your Mock Draft Monday that you can go find at PackerReport.com right now. And that's Amon-Ra St. Brown. And Ross, what about those two guys would you say off the top of your head, what makes them Packers to you? What makes them guys that you could really see Goody going out and picking?
Well, on the Rado side, like I've known Dylan since he was 18 years old. I covered his recruitment at North Dakota State. Phenomenal kid, and for me, I mean, he's just a rich man's, and not necessarily what the player has been, because I think, you know, expecting a guy to be J.C. Treader, and that's where I'm going with this. Just expecting a guy to be J.C. Treader, the career that he's had, I mean, that's like a 90th percentile outcome. You would be very, very, very pleased. But Treader was a mid-round pick. I just mean, as a prospect, strictly as a prospect, I think you're thinking of Rado as a rich man's Treader, in that he's a college left tackle. He's a freakazoid athlete. I think that'll show out when North Dakota State does their pro day. I think, you know, Treader, I think, was a high-end athlete. I'd have to take a quick look at the RAS, but I think that is – correct. And I think they do a lot of the same things where, yeah, I think both can. And I think Treader probably could have played tackle. They wanted him inside. Yeah. He was a 9.64 RAS guy, which, you know, that means he's a freak. That's a stone cold freak. 6'3" was really his only downside, and that's why he didn't stick at tackle. But I mean, this is a 5'40", basically 29 on the bench, 29 inch vert. You know, at 307. And that's the other thing is, you know, Rado's not 320. He's not. He's 305, 308, whatever. And so that's why you saw some love at center, but I think you saw the ability to play left and right tackle as well. Maybe kick inside the guard, but I think he's kind of an Elton-type prospect in that you think his top positions are probably tackle and center. Now they have Green Bay has obviously slid him inside the guard. But that's why. I mean, I think it's Rado is like Billy Turner juiced up too, kind of the same type of thing. Played left tackle at North Dakota State, can play guard, can play tackle. And then you saw with like Sitton and Lang, you know, they just took those college tackles and eventually had them chill at a position. And that's one thing that I think the Packers have done better of late is now injuries have upset the apple cart, but I think the Packers of late have done better with just teaching their guys a position and trying to cross-train them all across the line, but don't make guys shuffle if it's not completely necessary. And that's, I think, where maybe some of TJ Lang's early struggles in his career, maybe some of the failures of some of the earlier picks before Ted just started nailing every offensive line pick, I think that was maybe some of the issue. As far as Amon-Ra St. Brown, I mean, just a size, speed athlete. Obviously, they employ his brother currently, above 6'1", I think. was kind of the slot option with Michael Pittman Jr. playing the X, and I think was more successful in 2019 as a player than he was in 2020. But I think all tape is valuable, not just the most recent tape. And oddly enough, I mean, that's where Green Bay really kind of has a hole right now, or a spot to take over full time. I think you really like MVS and Alan Lazard as sort of that Z or that number two. Of course, Devontae Adams is your stud, is your X, is your guy. And you know, they move Devontae around plenty, but ultimately where they don't have a super dependable guy is where St. Brown is excellent. That's in the slot. And unfortunately for a guy like me who would love to see Elijah Moore or Rondale Moore, oh, be still my beating heart, I don't think that that's – I mean, they do kind of still want the size. I don't know as though they like the 5'9 stump like Rondale Moore as much as I do.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. And actually, Peter Bukowski and I were talking about that today. Just if there was, you know, of these gadget guys, you look at first-tier guys, I'd say Kadarius Rondale are probably that first-tier gadget-type guy. Second tier is probably your Tutu Atwells and your Dwayne Eskridges. And third tier is probably the Jalen, the Darden kid from North Texas, and then like the Demetric Fentons, like those types of guys. And where does the value match up with what they're willing to take on a smaller type guy? And they might not want a smaller type guy at all. And so, yeah, you hit on pretty much everything I said last week with Rado. You know, find a spot for him. It won't be hard. He's a top five, probably offensive lineman guy right away. And then Amon-Ra, his competitive toughness too. I think Matt LaFleur is going to absolutely love that. And speaking of competitive toughness, a guy, and I guess Peter, I was talking to Peter again. I said, watch Tommy Tremble. If the Packers like Josiah DeGuara last year, they are going to love Tommy Tremble. And Ross, Tommy Tremble had 19 catches this year. That is it. He is never featured in their passing game, and he is still some of the funnest tape you will watch. Because when he blocks you, he doesn't just block you, Ross. He wants to put your butt in the ground 6 feet under, put the shovel on top, throw it, walk away, come back, dig some more dirt on it, and then do it all over again. Like, he is a dude in the run game. And so it is a blast to watch him. I don't know. What are your thoughts, I guess, on Tommy Tremble? Because he was a guy that I told Peter. So, hey, I think the Packers are going to like this guy. And I tweeted this out earlier today. Lo and behold, the Packers met with him this week. What are your thoughts on Tommy Tremble?
Yeah. I mean, so, and then this is kind of a little bit hypocritical, and I'll admit to this. I mean, how many times have I yelled at people online for helmet scouting? Enough. You follow me on Twitter. It happens. I don't want to hear that Trey Lance isn't going to be a great quarterback because Carson Wentz had a bad year. I don't want to hear that Justin Fields isn't going to make it because Cardale and Haskins didn't make it. It's just stupid. I don't want to hear that you don't want a defensive back from Washington because you don't like the way Kevin King finished his Packers career. I don't want to hear it. It's lazy. It's dumb. Like, it. By the way, next year, Sam Howell is not going to suck because Mitch Trubisky sucked. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm going to get off my soapbox. But what I will say is the DIC, the Draft Industrial Complex, they love them some Notre Dame tight ends. I have felt a tight end after tight end after tight end, including Cole Kmet, has been overvalued. And it's, I don't know what it is. It's not that they just have that golden helmet on and that makes them, you know, busts or whatever. But for me, consistently from Kyle Rudolph and then kind of on, I just feel like I have, you know, kind of disagreed with their rankings and wanted to rank them 30, 40, 50, 60 spots lower. And this is a complete opposite. I mean, it's kind of reminds me of this guy that we fall in love with, right? We were super right about George Kittle, or at least I was. And he wasn't featured as heavily in Iowa's offense because they just ran the football. And it turns out he's one of the best, you know, two, three guys. And I didn't have George Kittle as a top, probably even 100 player. but I was higher on him than most. Turns out he's a top 10 player in that class, you know, and probably a top 30 or 40 player in the whole league. But, you know, like Trayvon Wesco, everybody fell in love with him. I remember falling in love with Dalton Schultz. You know, everybody gets once a year and falls in love with it with a blocking tight end. And this is that blocking tight end. You feel, it looks like you got something to say.
I'm just laughing because I literally just wrote. Okay, so I literally wrote up Tommy Tremble today for the KC Draft Guide.
Yeah,
and my player comps for him were one, George Kittle, two, athletic Trayvon Wesco, and we did not talk about this.
No,
yeah, we did not. And that is who he is. It's who he right. is.
You and I are no dummies. You and I are no dummies. Oh, that's fantastic, though. But I mean, that's the thing, right? We have been taught, especially now that, you know, folks that follow the Packers should be disciples of the wide zone and understanding the value of Mercedes Lewis last year, but also need, you know, understanding that Bobby Tonyan's a wide receiver convert and Jay Sternberger is not a traditional wide tight end. And, you know, when Josiah DeGuara gets fully healthy, he ain't a wide tight end either. He's like 6'2" and a half. It's just, there's not, you know, there's not enough length there. And so that spot needs to get filled on Green Bay's roster. How tall is Tremble?
6'4".
Yeah. Big. I mean, he's not 6'7" like Big Dog, but you can see it on film. That don't matter. You know, I don't think Kittle's not 6'7" either. You know, but when you can put somebody's face in the turf, that is a gift. And I think, you know, maybe Tremble doesn't end up like Kittle, but the threat of putting someone's face in the turf also can create opportunities in the passing game. When people are coming downhill to meet you, it's easy to run by them. That's kind of how the tight end position works sometimes. And having that threat of being a blocker as opposed to, you know, people line up at this point in his career, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but people at this point line up in his career across from Robert Tonyan, and they're defending the pass mostly, I think.
And the thing about Tremble too is you look at the tight end position and what Green Bay has been looking at. They also brought in Brevin Jordan, who can kind of play that souped up fullback type role that they want Josiah DeGuara to play, which is also something that I think Tremble could do. Which you look at it, they rostered John Lovett and Josiah DeGuara last year. They want more than one guy. They kept running through that position last year. So is Matt LaFleur thinking, okay, we thought we had Josiah DeGuara last year. He's coming back, but then we had to, you know, pivot from what we really wanted to do on offense because we didn't have someone else like Josiah DeGuara. So I don't know. It's interesting to me that they're looking at that position in particularly those two guys who I think can do a lot of that stuff. And Tremble as well. He's the Kittle comp is because of how underutilized he is in the passing game in college. But boy, the opportunities he gets, he looks good. Like he looks very and granted, he's running one route. He's running up the seam, but boy, does he look athletic. So moving on to the guys that we want to talk about today.
I'm sorry. So just so people understand what we're talking about, George Kittle at Iowa had 48 catches in 25 games. 48 catches in 25 games as a Hawkeye, folks. And he snapped plenty. Okay, my man was turfing people. But you know, his career high was his senior year at Iowa. I think half of these yards were in that game against North Dakota State. I can't remember who won that one. but 22 catches for 314 yards. And like I said, I think, you know, almost a third of those 314 yards were in that loss to NDSU at home. It's not like George Kittle ate up the Big Ten through the air. He absolutely did not. But he was a freak athlete, and he fit the wide zone that Shanahan wanted to run. Now he's a super-duper star.
Yeah, would be fun in Green Bay. But, okay, so the guys that we're going to talk about last week, I talked about Raiders. I talked about Amon-Ra St. Brown. And we're talking guys that when we've watched them, we say, man, this guy looks like a Packer. Like, we've seen Goody for 3 years now. We've started to notice some of his trends. It's easy to connect some of those dots. And when Ross and I were talking before the show, Ross said, okay, well, I'll talk about Radunz and Greg Robinson. And I said, well, last week I already talked about Radunz, and Greg Robinson is first on my list for this
Greg
week
Newsom.
To talk about.
Newsom.
Sorry. Who am I? Greg Robinson? Who is he? Is he the old, the basketball player?
No, that's David Robinson. I think Greg Robinson is an offensive lineman of sorts.
Oh, and he sucked. Yeah. All right, Auburn got drafted in there. Yeah. I'm talking about Greg Newsom. Dude, that's hilarious because on the AP draft show, I said on air that Greg Newsom is the son of Craig Newsom. And that's not true either. but what is true is he's a baller. He is good. And you look at the Packers, and so this is how kind of I came to this conclusion for he is very much, or at least I think should be in the conversation for the 29th overall pick. When you look at a team, a pro team, and what they value in programs from college, you can gain a lot by guys that they bring in later rounds, in undrafted free agency, stuff like that. They believe in the program. They believe in some of those guys. And they've also probably heard from some of the coaches of those staffs that you should take a flyer on this guy. So two teams that have had a lot of late round guys, and they've had a lot of UDFAs, or North Dakota State and Northwestern. Dean Lowry, Tyler Lancaster, and Greg Newsom is going to be the next Packer. I'm telling you. Yeah, and on top of that, Mark Murphy was the AD there for a long time. There's just a lot of parallels, a lot of bridges you can bring to those two different
spots. Scared the crap out of everybody thinking they were going to hire Pat.
Have the fighting Pat Fitzgeralds. Yeah. Greg, though, you look at him. Now let's talk about him as a prospect. And I keep getting tripped up in my head because I want to call him Greg Robinson so much. Greg Newsom. You look at him. When I watch him on tape, this kid was hardly ever targeted at Northwestern. Is it because he's playing Big Ten wide receivers and could smother them? Absolutely. That was why. But I look at a kid, and my buddy Craig Stout, who I write with over at Arrowhead Pride, I kept telling them, watch this kid. Watch this kid. You're going to like him. You're going to like him a lot. He's a first-round talent. Craig, in the DMs, within 5 minutes of watching him, I believe the quote was, someone as big and lanky as him has no business closing on the ball as fast as he does. And you watch him, his click and close is very nice. The way he can open his hips is extremely nice. He's a plus athlete. He has good length. And on top of that, above everything else, he's a really smart football player. You look at the way he IDs routes, where he always knows where his help is. He played a lot, very similar to what I think Joe Barry is going to want to run for the Packers next year. Pretty zone heavy, cover two heavy, and he's very natural in it. Now, you look at him and say, well, he doesn't have a lot of interceptions. He doesn't have this or that. He doesn't make plays on the ball. Well, one, he does. You want to talk about Jair not being targeted last year? That was great last year in college. They didn't throw the ball at him, and for good reason. He was an All-American in 2019. 2020, he was not. But the dude was hardly targeted, and then he got hurt. So he does have some injury concerns. But, man, you watch this kid on tape, and I think the secret's out. I think people liked him, but now that people are getting to him a little bit more, they're starting to realize he's a first-round talent, and he could absolutely be the guy lining up from Jair Alexander. Someone today, Ross, told me, and they're like, he reminds me of Josh Jackson at Iowa. And I don't think he does, and I'll tell you why. Josh Jackson at Iowa, one, Josh Jackson was a one-year guy. That 1 year was awesome. Don't get me wrong. I love Josh Jackson coming out of college. But Josh Jackson does not have the type of hip fluidity that Newsom has. He doesn't move like he does. Jackson was more of like a physical guy with great instincts in college who got his hands on a ton of footballs. But he got his hands on a ton of footballs because he was targeted a lot. Newsom is hardly ever targeted. And I think you look at those two things, and that's really the big difference for me is Jackson was not locking dudes down in college. He was making plays on the ball in college. Newsom, I think his skill set is more transferable to the NFL level. Ross, you can either riff off of that or give me your guy.
Hey, everyone. I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or, if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
Yeah, I'm with you on Newsom. 6-1, 190. I went off on a little bit of a rant, and I love that that rant was validated by my guy, Eric Crocker. And I just said, like, look, I get it, and I've seen a couple beat guys for the Packers or just analysts talk about the Melifonwu kid from Syracuse or the St. Juiced kid from Minnesota and talk about, well, they're really long, and so that will blend well with Jair. That's a good contrast from Jair. And it's like, I don't care, man. Like, if Asante Samuel Jr. can play at 5'10", I don't give a shit if he's the cornerback opposite of Jair Alexander. Remember and I was guilty of this, and this is why, you know, you always get better at this job. You always learn something. I was guilty of this. I remember going back to the Packers home playoff game against Seattle last year. And I thought, well, duh, they'll shadow Lockett with Jair, and they'll put Kevin King on DK Metcalf and let the freak guard the freak and let the jitterbug guard the jitterbug. And that'll be that. They didn't do that. They identified Metcalf as the number one threat and put Jair on him. And it's the exact same thing that happened in, frankly, a losing effort against Tampa, where you would assume that they would cover Godwin with Alexander and cover Evans with King, and then do God knows what with Scotty Miller. But you would take the shiftier guy, the Godwin style, and cover him with Alexander, and then put a 6'3 guy on the 6'5 Evans, so you have that kind of coverage. They didn't do that either. They put the 5'10 Alexander on it. I don't know why, because he's good. You need good corners. You need guys that can play. And I don't care if it's 6'1 Aaron Robinson or if it's, you know, 6'2 Caleb Farley, 6'2 Pat Surtain Jr. All of that is great. Super awesome. I'm for it. But if it comes in a 5'10 package, that's fine too. And just because these guys like St. Juiced and Melifonwu are 6'3, guys, do we not understand what just happened the last time that we went for a 6'3 corner because he was 6'3 and because Richard Sherman was 6'3? Like, come on. Like, let's progress here. Let's evolve. Let's understand that most of the best corners in this league are not 6'3. Most of the best corners in this league are 6 feet.
Yeah, because you got to be able to move. Like, those, like, height is a huge plus for corners, and we like that. We like the plus height of corners. And speaking of plus, Ross, I heard a little birdie talk to me about Paramount Plus while it's on my mind. Could you give us a little rundown about what's going on over at Packer Report before you get into your next prospect with Paramount Plus?
Yeah, so here's the deal, guys. I think if you are VIP person at Packer Report, you understand that if you're paying full price, once you're renewed, or if you're at any time that you're paying full price, CBS All Access has been a part of your program as well, which is cool. I mean, the original Star Trek series that are on there, tons of streaming libraries, the live football in the fall. You if you have CBS All Access, you're not blacked out. You get access to those games, and that's been really cool. But on March 4th, that becomes Paramount Plus, which is pretty freaking cool. And that's all of the, you know, what I think of as the Viacom properties, right? So Nickelodeon, Comedy Central, They're going to have 2000 classic movies. They're going to have an original new SpongeBob series. They're going to do some straight to streaming stuff, kind of like HBO and Warner Brothers have doing. So you're going to get Top Gun Maverick and Mission Impossible 7 right there. And so this value of CBS Access is going to become Paramount Plus on the 4th. It's just going to happen. And right now, we're doing, until March 3rd, a VIP program at Packer Report where you can see my film study, you can see Andy's grades, you can see Dusty's playbook, you can see a number of the premium things that we are going to do moving forward, and you can get that behind the scenes access type stuff and the really nerdy stuff and the great stuff, and you're going to get Paramount Plus, because when CBS All Access rolls into Paramount Plus, you're going to be a subscriber. So this $100 value of Paramount Plus, I don't know what a 50% off. Let's go to Packer Report right now, shall we? This is great. This is great radio. I don't know what it is, but I can't imagine that 50% off of our deal. So yeah, it's going to be $53.70, folks. So for $53.70, you can get Paramount Plus and get the Packer Report VIP setup. And that actually gives you access to the entire network. So if you're a Badgers fan, if you're a Gophers fan, if you're a Tar Heels fan, if you're whatever, you're going to have all the inside recruiting information. You're going to have all the insider boards, all that stuff, Nebraska Cornhuskers, Iowa Hawkeyes, I don't care. You're going to have access to all of the entire VIP 24/7 sports network. You're going to have access to all the great stuff on Packer Report, and you're going to get $100 value in Paramount Plus free. That's just part of the deal.
Does Yellowstone come with the Paramount Plus package?
100%. You better believe it.
So before we move on, I just need to let the people know, if you haven't watched it, you should. And I watched it all via Amazon by having to purchase each of the three seasons. They're $20 a piece. So if you just go ahead and subscribe at Packer Report, you're already $7 ahead. If you just want to watch Yellowstone, which you should. But enough of that. We just did a little promo in the middle of the show. Hope you guys are still with us.
Time out. I need to correct myself. Eventually, it will go on to Paramount Plus, and the prequel to Yellowstone that they're shooting will be on Paramount Plus. But the first three seasons of Yellowstone was actually sold to Peacock, which aren't these streaming wars fun. But season four and moving on, I think, will be Paramount Plus, and then the prequel will be on Paramount Plus, and eventually – as everything does, the rights to Paramount or to the rights to Yellowstone will go back to Paramount. But I didn't want to mislead folks. But guys, it's just Google Paramount Plus and see all the stuff that's gonna come as a part of that value. I would argue that $53 for a year of Packer Report VIP is very, very worth it. I think we're worth the 100% price. I mean, I'm obviously extremely biased, but you know, we've got over 500 subscribers that have been with us for a very, very long time, and we're looking to grow that number. You know, Jake's got to eat, folks. We got to keep him in leathers and furs.
That's right. Speaking of leathers and furs, there's actually no way I can segue this into the next.
Yeah, this is a terrible segue. I'm sorry.
So let's just go ahead. Hey, leathers and furs, who's your Packer?
Yeah, so I've got two guys after you told me I couldn't take any of my original guys. And the first one is the lazy version, which is Jason Owe. And I think I'm saying that right. And I'm not saying he's lazy. I don't think he is at all. But this dude is a freak. And he's 6'5". He's going to be in that 250 to 260 range. There's going to be weight that can be kind of hung on him. And right now he's a little bit like Rashawn Gary in that there's not a huge ton of production. There's not consistency. Like, you go back and look at his PFF grades by game, and that those aren't the gospel, but it's very inconsistent. Great against Indiana, not so great against Ohio State and Maryland, then really good against Nebraska. There are some inconsistencies. Look, if Jason Owe played at his top level with his athleticism every single week, he'd go in the top five. That's just the way that it works with edge rushers. And that's why I think there's a chance for him to be a Packer at 29, because the production, the numbers aren't necessarily there. We're not going to get the holy shit, this guy's a freak combine thing, because I think that would have happened. I think he would have ran like a 4.45 at 255 pounds, and that might have been the end. And he might have gotten in the top 10 or the top 12, but that's not going to happen this year. You know, or he verts, you know, 39 or something nuts, and people go insane. Well, I don't think that's going to happen because of the structure of the combine. So I could see Jason Oweh as a Packer potentially at 29, because ultimately I still think they have to release Preston Smith. And if you release Preston Smith and you want to play either Gary or Z inside, you need that other rusher. Plus, you're kind of lost after Z and Gary anyway. I mean, Spider Garvin is a maybe. Tipa Season is a maybe. There are a bunch of maybes, I think, on that edge side of things, but nothing that you feel great about, nothing that you have a tremendous amount of invested in. So I think edge, I took Jalen Phillips on Mock Draft Monday today. I think edge is a need, a considerable need, something that they need to pay attention to. I think you watch the way that Tampa won the Super Bowl with opposing offenses not being able to block JPP and Barrett with their backup tackles because of injury. And that's something that I think you definitely want to try and replicate if you can. You want to be able to bring pressure.
Yeah, and so you look at him as an edge. You know, Jason Oweh, edge, Penn State, freak athlete. Best is probably still in front of him. Freak athlete, Big Ten. Best still in front of him. You know, where have we heard this story before?
And yeah, exactly.
Draw those parallels, like, yes, this is baby Rashawn, you know, and he very much could be. And the level of confidence I have in Mike Smith to develop those types of guys is very high as well. If Mike Smith wants to be a defensive coordinator in the next couple of years, if Rashawn Gary continues to get better, that's his resume. Mike Smith, why are you qualified to be a defensive coordinator? Look at this kid. I did that.
Go look at Rashawn's Michigan tape and then go look at what I turned him into.
Exactly. And so you look at a player like that and you're 100% right. Like, he is a freak athlete, could fall this year because we don't really know what's what with numbers. You know, we don't know what we're going to get. He could go run a 4.5, 4.4 at his pro day, and people are going to be skeptical of it because pro days aren't the combine. So that's an interesting thing. And you look at the Packers and what they've done with edges. Yes, Mike Pettine is gone. He had a type that he liked. Maybe that changes this year. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. Brian Goody brought in Preston Smith, who is a freakazoid athlete. Z is kind of an outlier, but Z is really good, you know. And then Rashawn Gary, freak athlete.
Yeah.
Jonathan Garvin, freak athlete. So there is a type that Brian Gutekunst is going after. And so he could absolutely fit into that mold.
And that's something that they've shown too with free agents. Like Billy Turner, not a great athlete from a RAS perspective. Same thing, you know, obviously goes for Z. You know, they're ready to throw away the RAS if you're a veteran. They don't necessarily throw it away though if you're a draft pick. They want you to be a stud. And the other guy I like, and I would love to have some athletic testing on the kid. I probably won't ever. But the guy that just gets it and is excellent from wherever they play him is Elijah Molden. And this is, like I said, this the helmet scouting thing. Like, if you're going to tell me – and by the way, go watch Buda Baker for like 20 minutes and you'll feel like an idiot. But, you know – you're going to tell me that Sidney Jones and Kevin King didn't turn out. So you don't want a Washington defensive back. I can't help you, but Molden is an awesome slot safety combo player. I don't think he's quite as big as Micah Hyde. I don't think he's probably the punt returner that Micah Hyde is, but that's what I see when I see Elijah play. Is just excellence. I mean, he just gets it. He understands pattern matching. He understands zone. He's capable in man. Yeah, he's 5'10", 190 is what PFF has him here. But he's just been excellent. I mean, I think he can play safety. I think he can play nickel. I think he can kind of move all over. And, I don't know if he's a safety. I don't know if he's a slot. I don't know what you do with him. But if you just say, go play the slot, and you don't try the safety convert, I think he is as high of a floor as you're going to get in this whole class. Like, I think that the 50 percentile outcome, if you will, for him is one of the better 8 or 10 nickels in the league for a decade. I think that's the 50 percentile outcome. And how you value that, I don't know. I mean, I think the Packers should have tremendous value on that. They play we don't know with the new DC, Joe Barry, but we do know that this is now a sub league. I think Barry still understands that. I think the Rams played a ton of nickel. I think that's an important spot. And if I can tell you that your nickel is going to be one of the better 8 or 10 guys at his spot, that should have value. You should have value in that. You should value that as an organization.
You know, it just dawned on me when you said he's not the punt returner that Micah Hyde is. You know what player in this draft class I think I could look at and say, that's Micah Hyde 2.0? Let me give you one guess.
I'm not going to guess.
Javon Holland, Oregon.
Oh, God.
Because he is a punt.
He's still my beating heart.
He is a punt returner. He is a slot. He is a safety. Yeah. He's another guy kind of in that Elijah Molden.
And he doesn't – I tell you what, with him, you don't have to break any size rules. He's all of 6'1". You don't have to step off the RAS train. You don't have to worry about, you know, him being 5'10". Javon, I've mocked Javon a number of times, and their best position group might be Amos and Savage, and it's like, that's great, super. I would like to move Savage to nickel or play Javon at nickel or play Javon and Savage interchangeable and freak people out. Like, there are a number of things that you could do with both of those players. Javon Holland's just a dude. I mean, he's a dude. And
well, he might run 4.6 too. That's what I'm thinking. He's Micah. Yeah. You know, like he might not be the fastest straight line guy, but I have no concerns about his.
He's so fluid and he's so smart.
Yeah. So that's a bonus one. That's not who I'm going to talk about, but that's another bonus guy that I think you can look at, and the Packers could just say that there's a certain point in the draft where he's just too good to not draft. The last guy we'll get to here is someone that, Ross, you and I actually watched this guy together, and I think you watched me fall in love with him like before your very own eyes, and that is Jonathan Osai from Texas. And he's an edge rusher. Joe, got you. I can't get anyone's name right today. Good Lord.
A lot of players' moms are going to be really angry with you.
Thanks for correcting me on that one, Rusty. But no, Joseph Osai, the edge from Texas, you look at him, and the first thing that comes to mind is Clay Matthews, the way he plays. They're similar in size. Osai's a little bit longer than Clay is. Or was. Clay might have been a little bit stronger at the point of attack, but I mean, you're splitting hairs there. And why there's one play in particular that I think you can look at and say someone's going to fall in love with him on this Packers team. And we know that Matt LaFleur pounded the table for Josiah DeGuara last year because of one particular play where it was an interception and he chased the guy down 80 yards, never gave up on the play. And LaFleur just basically said, that's who I want on my team. I want guys like that on my team. DeGuara doesn't have the freakiest of RAS. You know, so if they're going to make exceptions to that, it's going to be because the guy plays with a certain level of intensity. And go watch the Oklahoma State game. He's playing, I'm going to say his name wrong too, Trayvon Jenkins, the tackle.
Kevin.
God dang, man.
Tevin Jenkins.
Just going to hang it up. Tevin Jenkins. He was probably going to go in the first round, right? He's a really talented tackle prospect. He might get drafted by the Packers in the first round, and I wouldn't be upset about it. But you watch that game, and Osai was not – these stats are not all from rushing directly over Jenkins, right? But he had 3 sacks in that game. 7 tackles for loss, 12 tackles, 2 fumble recoveries, 1 forced fumble. That was versus a top 10 team at their place. And he brought his game to a ridiculous level. He didn't single-handedly win that game, but if 46 wasn't on the field, if Osai was not on the field, Texas does not win that game. Last play of the game, 4th and 8. Oklahoma State is in the red zone. Osai is lined up across from Jenkins. Last play of the game. Gotta have it. And he absolutely dusts Jenkins for a sack to win the game, for his 3rd sack of the game. And you cannot tell me a head coach that pounded the table for an undersized tight end chasing down an interception, he is not going to love that guy. And the fact is, he's kind of got some Zedarius to him as well. You want to kick him inside. You want to have some versatility with him. I think he can do that. I think he can do that all. He's going to be, I think his floor is relatively high, and I think his ceiling is decently high. And I think he's a guy that if you want to draft, bring in, let him be your edge 3. You got a really good group of 1, 2, 3 edges. And so he's a guy that you watch, and I just cannot picture the Packers not loving him, just knowing what we know about Matt LaFleur. So, Ross, what are your takes on Joseph Osai? Anything I left off about him?
No, I mean, I'm the one that brought him to you and said, come and look at this wondrous thing. I was not well when you and I watched that tape.
And you were not.
And I still found a way to enjoy it.
If it wasn't for the Joseph Osai tape, man, you might not have made it.
I might not be here. He was great. You know, he was hair on fire. You know, everything that we saw with Clay. No, he's not 6'6", but got long arms, gets away with it, can play some off ball, can play on the edge, versatile piece, but not limited. And by the way, my guy Hassan Reddick made it. Like, he made it. He figured it out. But not limited that way, because I think Hassan's like 5'11 or something like that. He still has decent size. Would be an awesome salmon, a 4'3 under, if that's the way that Joe Barry wants to go. But still, like, just gives you another weapon if you're worried about edge depth, which I think you can and should be. And this Packers defense just needs more of their 11 to be really good players. And Joseph Osai is a really good player, and I think you just kind of figure it out. At some point, like, you know, with this last year, the off-the-field backer, one of the defensive linemen, the nickel and the corner were all guys that you could kind of go after. And you need to start reducing that number for the opposing offensive game plan.
Yep. And, you know, there's other guys that we're going to get to as well. We can't give them all to you right now, but believe you me, there are other guys, other names for me to mispronounce and tell you that the Packers will love. But to just give you a recap for who we've covered so far, Dylan Radunz, tackle, North Dakota State. Amon-Ra St. Brown, wide receiver, USC. Greg Newsome, the second, cornerback, Northwestern. We just talked about Joseph Osai, the edge from Texas. Jonathan Unwa, I can't say it. That's a legit easy one to mispronounce, the edge from Penn State. And Elijah Molden from Washington, the defensive back. And then we also gave you a little bonus of Javon Holland, the safety out of Oregon. Those are the guys that we have identified so far as just, yes, could they be Packers? Would we be surprised in the slightest? No. So, guys, thank you for joining us. Make sure you go over and get subscribed to the year-long package over at Packer Report and get you Paramount Plus in as a throw-in for that, which, again, we talked about it long enough. It's awesome. Make sure you do that. We'll be back on here in a couple weeks. And until then, go Pack Go!